It's time to stop the property search and crack the deal. I'm Luke Moroney.
And I'm Mark Navin, and we're the team from Search Party Property.
We see a lot of people get education, attend seminars, but never buy an investment property. So we would like to show you how you can invest in property like the pros and stop the search and take action. This is the first podcast in a 10-part series on how to invest in property like the pros. And our first action, or the first topic of this series, is to review your current situation. So you might be asking, how do I do this? Well, let's look at three key points for you to consider when reviewing your current situation. Firstly, take a moment to detail your income, expenses, and debts. This includes credit cards, personal loans, things like that.
Yeah, that's a massive one, and probably a fairly obvious one, I guess. But definitely, you need to understand your financial position to know whether you can afford to purchase that property, and then not only just the purchase of the property, but also that you can continue to hold that property without it impacting your life and lifestyle.
Absolutely, Mark. I think it's a great point. You know, there's many tools on the internet in terms of putting together a budget. I think it's a big one for people. Or perhaps, you know, look for an expert in terms of helping you with, you know, money matters and helping you with structuring numbers around your personal income and expenses. So I think that's really important. Also want to let people know, in terms of those debt facilities that you have, like credit cards, personal loans, especially when it comes to credit cards, is know what your credit limits are. You might be paying off those credit cards each and every month, but that credit card limit could affect your chance to borrow for that investment property that you're looking to purchase. Some people have credit card limits of, you know, $2,000 or $3,000. But if you have a credit card limit of $20,000, $25,000, or even $50,000, you might be in a situation where that can really hamper your ability to borrow money. And as I said, it doesn't really matter if you're paying it off or not. It's how the bank looks at that particular credit card limit as a liability, as debt.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, and just to really spell that out for people, the bank will take into account, if your credit card limit is $20,000, they'll look at the debt as being $20,000, even if it's completely paid off.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Thanks for clarifying that, Mark. So the second point that I would like to bring up is, ask yourself, am I in the right frame of mind to start investing? And also, are you going to put the time in to do this, to actively manage your portfolio? Because after all, property investing is like a business. And some might say it is actually like a business for them. And yeah, I think what we need to understand as well, yes, there's time, and we do need to get our mind frame right. But with the right team, both these factors can really significantly reduce the amount of time, as well as the help you in the mindset and the mind frame of getting started when first being involved in property investing.
Yeah, look, it's probably the one, you know, the obvious one, like we spoke about just before, was your financial position and where you're at with that. But the one that people don't often consider is the mindset and where they're at with that. They just, you know, they have the goal, they want to do it, but that you really need to pay a lot of attention to that, because you do need to have a bit of drive behind you and really understand what sort of time is involved in owning property, because it's in the initial process, it can be quite involved as well. You know, obviously you've got to liaise with different people, obviously accountants, brokers, maybe there's a financial planner involved as well, but, you know, also solicitors, building and pest people. So during that time when you're actually purchasing the property, can be quite involved.
Hmm. And don't forget the buyer's agent, Mark.
Oh yeah, those guys too. So then after the purchase of the property, even if you're not using a buyer's agent as well, I mean, if you're finding the property yourself, that can be quite time consuming. And I guess that's why a lot of people do use buyer's agents, is because reduce the amount of time that they're spending on actually finding those good deals. But like I was saying, after the property purchase and you've actually settled on the property, then that can chew up a bit of time as well, actually managing your property. So even with a property manager, you've got to check in with them and liaise with them, see what's going on, whether there's repairs, perhaps your tenants a couple of days in arrears, and keeping up to date with that, insurances, and then organising stuff to do with your tax as well. So it's not exactly a totally passive investment where you just put your money there and forget about it, like perhaps maybe a managed fund might be, or something like that. But it is a little bit more involved, and then it depends on what strategy you're using as well. Like if you look to something like the other end of the spectrum, which is property development, that can be massively active strategy where a lot of time and effort put into that, and also education involved around educating yourself around that too.
I guess property developers are probably doing that particular vocation, in terms of, full time. So, more and more property developers will do that. Whereas, starting a property portfolio on a buy and hold strategy, a lot of people are doing this while they're, still working, still employed. And this is kind of a side business as when they're first starting up. And I think that's where the team can really help you minimize the amount of time that you are spending, but you still need to, have your eyes, read over things, listen to what your team members say, because that's vitally important. And we'll move on to the third key point in reviewing your current situation. And that is, is there going to be any changes in future for your personal life? And that includes your family. You might be thinking about having kids. In terms of your work, you might be considering to change jobs or careers, or in the fact of planning a holiday. And you've got to accommodate for each of those specific areas in terms of looking at starting a property investment portfolio as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All those things that you spoke about do have an impact on what you're doing and starting the portfolio and managing it as well. But I guess also another thing to probably mention there is the support around you that you're getting from perhaps your family, or so your spouse, or if you're still at home with your parents and stuff like that, what sort of support they can give you, not sort of financially necessarily, but just support in encouragement and backing you and being behind you. And if you're not getting that support from them, have you still got the drive to just do it without that support?
Motivation, maybe other people step into that role, like-minded investors or those experts that you're using along the way as well. So, awesome, really good points in terms of, thinking about planning in the next 12 months, next 2 years, next 5 years, in terms of thinking at least where situations can potentially change for you. And knowing what could potentially happen could set you up in a good frame of mind and a good start for when you're making that first purchase.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you, Luke, what do you think for someone starting out when they're thinking about these things that we've just spoken about? What do you think the sort of first steps, or where could they go somewhere to talk to someone, or what do you think they should do when considering these factors?
Well, there's a number of different strategies. Property seminars are definitely a good place to start. A lot of people at seminars, or a lot of experts, talk about mindset, talk about getting yourself ready. Also, property event advisors and mentors out there that can really help you. Personally have helped people, get started and look at working on that mindset, look at working on that initial stage of setting up structures and thoughts around property investing. So there's a couple of good places to start. Yep. You know, obviously personal education, you know, life coaches can help in that frame as well to get things moving forward for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think you probably really hit the nail on the head there when you said surrounding yourself with other sort of like-minded people. And like you said, whether that is through property seminars or whether it's through property coaches, or even as you were just saying, I was even just thinking, you know, whether it's just on a forum on Facebook or a website or something like that, property forums, and asking other people, which is, I guess, surrounding yourself with those like-minded investors. Yeah, but just being part of it. Being part of the community. Okay.
So just to recap those, when you're reviewing your current situation, is really to have a think about your income and expenses and your debts, firstly, and secondly, would be being in the right frame of mind and thinking about your time. And as well, thirdly, are there any changes in future? And really setting yourself up to really make that first step in towards property investing. So hopefully that helps you get it started in the process, in order so you can stop the search and crack the deal. So I'm going to hand it over to Mark now to discuss the property deal of the week.
Excellent. This is my favorite time of the week, doing the property deal of the week. So this particular property that I found was, it's still available. It's an off-market deal. It's a property that is a brick and tile home. It was renovated 4 years ago. The tenants have been living there. And how do I say? They're a bit messy. they're not damaging the house or anything like that, but they are a bit untidy. And but they do pay on time, and they're paying quite a good rent. So we can pick it up at the moment for $295. We can probably push it into the $280s. Somewhere, and they're paying $330 a week rent. And the property was, like I said, it was renovated 4 years ago. They must have used the wrong paint on the ceiling, because the ceiling paint is starting to flake. So that would need to be repainted. But that's the only thing. The carpet's new. The paint on the walls is good. Kitchen's new. Bathroom's new. It's got a big back shed, double shed in the backyard as well. So it's a really good property, and to be able to pick that something like that up that's renovated for under $300,000, and getting the rent of $330, I just think it's a phenomenal opportunity. But looking at from the owner's point of view, I guess, is that they've sort of done themselves a little bit of an injustice. So they're trying to sell this property. Yes, it's not on the market, so that's maybe something that's hampering them a little bit as well. But they've chosen to do that because the tenants are so messy as well. So they've got this renovated house, essentially, that which would just need a lick of paint just to add a little bit of value to it. And they've got this tenant who's just got stuff everywhere. So they haven't taken it to the market because they believe that it's going to turn off people, which it would. And then they've only got it in front of one person. So it's going to affect the sale price at the end of the day, because it doesn't present well. The tenants, you know, for instance, you know, apart from just having stuff everywhere, they've got this old sort of couch at the front that they used to sit on, and it just doesn't look good. But it's actually, if you take away all that stuff and took away the tenant, it's actually quite a good house.
Sounds like they may have even done some self-renovating there, in terms of, you know, making those rookie DIY errors of, you know, using the wrong paint for the ceiling. So, you know, those sort of things can really hamper your renovations and the look and feel of the place if you get these things wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Well, definitely the ceiling, the flaking ceiling is affecting the prices as well, because people go in there and go, oh, it's a mess, the paint in the ceiling. Like, I know that some people can't see past the mess and see past things like that. So they'd go in there and just go, oh, this place is disgusting, it's terrible. They wouldn't almost realize that it was renovated 4 years ago. And I guess some people can, some people can't, but you know, there's,
well, that's where opportunities come up. And that's why, you know, as buyer's agents, and we look at these sort of opportunities, to see where we can sort of add value to the properties and, you know, look past the initial, you know, cosmetic mess that's going on, see past that and see where we can actually add value to this property, even though the tenants are a little bit messy, but they're paying some really good rent. If they do stay in for the long term, then you can renovate it when they leave down the track.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly the plan that I'd, or approach that I'd take to it, is keep the tenants in as long as they want to stay, because I don't believe that you'd get that rent again. It'd probably be about $20 a week less.
Fantastic, Mark. Well, thanks for the property deal of the week. So if anyone's interested in that deal, definitely call us at Search Party Property. You can find us on various social media channels. You can also call myself at 0400-332-377 to find out a little bit more about that deal or get some information around that. Hopefully you enjoyed our podcast today, which is Stop the Search and Crack the Deal. And we really want to get people started and commencing their property investment journey, or continue on and buy that next property investment. So thank you, Mark. And thank you for the property deal for the week and your insights on the ground when it comes to property investing.
No problem. Thank you, Luke.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.